Hey, fantastic fans. I've just discovered the most unbelievable tennis time machine that you've got to check out. GoldenAgeOfTennis.com is the world's leading retailer of retro tennis gear. They sell relaunch clothing designs from world famous brands like Sergio Tacchini, Fila, and LS that were worn by absolute legends of the sport like Borg and Connors, Becker. You can literally dress like your idols in these cool one-of-a-kind looks that will have everyone on the courts asking where you got them. Visit goldenageoftennis.com to get same-day worldwide shipping plus 10% off at checkout with the promo code FANTASTIC. Bring vintage tennis back to the courts with goldenageoftennis.com.
Please take your seats quickly, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
I mean, they always have a big mouth. They always talk a lot. So it happened before, it's going to happen again.
Our player guest today is one of the best doubles players on the entire planet. And I'm so excited she's here to talk about her rise up the WTA ranks as she prepares to play in a tournament she's now qualified for the last 4 years on tour, the season-ending WTA Championships. Born in Neustadt, Netherlands, she was an instant phenom on the doubles court as she advanced to all four junior Grand Slam doubles finals back in 2011, winning both the Australian Open and US Open junior titles. She would quickly show the tennis world that her quick hands and precision volley could rival the best players on tour. And in 2018, after winning seven WTA Tour titles, she would climb all the way to number 7 in the world. Today, as a staple in the world's top 10, she's already amassed a total of 14 career WTA doubles titles, as well as a phenomenal 20 ITF titles. Her tournament victories include some of the largest events in the world, like Rome, Doha, Wuhan, Charleston, and the Canadian Open. And at 28, her results continue to impress and reach new milestones. This 2021 season, she's won two titles with partner Nicole Melichar-Martinez, and she had her best Grand Slam showing yet by advancing to both the semifinals of the Australian Open doubles and French Open mixed events. And I'm 100% sure that next year will be an even bigger year for this great champion that has already amassed over 300 career match wins on tour. Our guest this week is the fantastic Demi Schuurs. Demi, what's up? How are you?
Hello. That was nice. That was nice. Some good words.
Thank you for doing all those things so I could say them about you today. Welcome to Fantastic Tennis. I'm very excited for today. I've been a fan of yours for a long time. I've been following your career for years now, so this is going to be fun. Plus, Demi, I was up at 4:30 this morning for our chat, and I wouldn't do that for just anybody. I need you to know that, okay?
Thank you very much.
Demi, we actually met a few weeks ago, if you remember, at the WTA tournament in Chicago. I was there with a good friend that plays on tour. You walked by, and I told her coaches, I said, oh, there's Demi Schuurs. I think she's amazing. And he was like, go talk to her. And I was like, no, I can't. I'm not going to bother her. But I went up and I was like, hey, Demi, I'm John. You're amazing. You have to come on the show. And look, now here you are. Poof. You know, that's life works out that way.
That's how it goes.
I'm very grateful. Demi, you're wrapping up an amazing 2021 season again. And wow, what a great year for you. You've now qualified for your fourth straight WTA Championships in Guadalajara. Well, it would have been four if 2020 had gone according to plan, right? Yeah.
I'm not sure about that. Last year, I had a tough beginning of the year, but at the end, I was playing with Květa Peschke, and then we won Cincinnati. So yeah. I think we would be close, yes. If we are not counting last year, I was there again to 18, to 19, and now again. So that's nice, yeah.
Yeah, it's really nice. So, have felicitiert.
Yeah, yeah, thank you, Val.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have you ever been to Guadalajara?
No, never. I think I played some junior matches in Mexico, but first time for Guadalajara, yeah.
It's a lovely town. It's all about the tequila, Demi. I don't know if you drink tequila. There's so many amazing tequila tours, and yeah, it's a great town if you're a fan. Do you drink tequila?
No, not really. No.
Okay. Well, all right. So not really. So if you win though, I think tequila shots though.
Yeah.
At least.
Okay. That's a good deal.
Oh man. All right. Well, what are your plans for the off season, by the way, after Guadalajara? Do we have a vacation planned?
Yeah, I think I'm actually going to stay home.
That's a great vacation for great tennis players.
I'm traveling so much. I think it's always nice to be home, or don't plan something and see what you want to do. I think that's very nice, because usually during the year, you're so busy. Just relax, chill, and we will see.
That sounds amazing to me. Amazing. So, I mean, you see the world. So why don't you see your living room? I mean, right? That's exactly. A good fair trade.
Yes.
Oh, man. All right, Demi, it's time to get to know both you and your career today by playing 15 Love. And in this version, I have 15 different topics for you that range from the beginning of your career all the way to your life today. We'll go through each topic one by one and get to know how you were able to climb all the way to number 7 in the world in the WTA rankings. Also, along the way, I have 3 Demi-inspired quiz questions that I'm sure will test your own memory about your own career. And if you get 2 out of 3 questions right today, you win our game. So that's fun. If you don't, your dog Simba, is Simba there with you?
Yeah, Simba. I don't know if you hear the dogs, but I mean, we have a second one. Yeah, they're running around. They're playing. They're sometimes barking. It's fun.
Okay, good. That's fun. All right. It's atmosphere, we call it. So if the dogs bark, then we know. I mean, this is just Demi in her home life, chilling out. This is what she wants. This is her vacation, guys. So what's the other dog's name?
Wolfie. It's like a small wolf. Yeah.
What kind of dogs are they?
Pomeranians.
Of course. Cute little Pomeranians. Do you take them with you?
No, not yet. Simba was in Rome this year.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was...
And did you win Rome?
No, I lost first round.
Okay, so bring Wolfe next time. We'll see how she... Don't worry. All right, let's go to topic one, Demi. It's your start in tennis. And I always find this answer so fascinating. What was your first memory of watching professional tennis live or on television?
I don't remember which match it was or which moment, but of course, when you play juniors or when you're just a little bit younger, I think overall it's like that's your dream. That's where you want to be. If you see those people playing on this level, you cannot imagine that you will reach that level. So if you look back at it now, it's like, wow, how is it possible? But at that point, it feels almost like it's impossible, I think.
Yeah. Growing up in Holland, were there any tennis players that you looked up to? You have a rich tradition in Holland for a great player.
Yeah. And then especially in doubles, of course, with Haarhuis, Elfing. Yeah. We have some great, great players. Yeah.
You grew up in the Netherlands, and obviously it being a very rich sporting country as well. I just mentioned tennis, but football, speed skating, volleyball, there's so many great athletes in the Netherlands. We're going to talk about your family and their connection to sports in a little bit today. But first, I'd love to know, Demi, how tennis came into your life.
Actually, I have no idea. I was like, I'm the oldest one in our family. I have a little sister and a brother. So yeah, my dad was a good handball player, and he always makes fun of it, like, because a handball was too big to give to me when I was a baby. So he gave me a tennis ball. So I think maybe that's the reason why I started playing tennis. No, I started when I was 3 years old. So I was very, very young.
Three.
Yeah, they cut the racket, and then I had a small racket and I was just playing. So yeah, that's how it started. And then, I grew up and I was playing more and more. Yeah.
Local club? Was that something you would just kind of go after school?
Yeah, just before school, after school. And then I stopped playing more. I was moving to another club because I wanted to get better. And then after 3 years, the coach told me, if you want to get better, you have to go somewhere else. So then I moved to Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I practiced for a long, long time. Yeah.
How old were you when you moved to Belgium?
I was 8.
I mean, that's a big decision for an 8-year-old, for a family to say, all right, you know, we're gonna really focus on this and move our family to another country.
Yeah.
Demi, what was it about the sport that you think you fell in love with right away?
I'm a team player, so that was maybe the wrong sport that I chose. But I was playing soccer as well from 6 to 12 years old.
Okay.
And at the end, I think that's the reason why I chose for doubles, because that feels a little bit more than a team than playing singles. But I just, have a lot of passion for the game. I just like the net game. The game overall, I think it's very nice. So I was young. I think at that point, I didn't realize what was going on. But I was growing up. And I was still playing every week, every day. And I just liked it. I love the game. So that's how it started.
Makes a lot of sense. So we'll talk about your game style in a moment too. But you picked up tennis very quickly from starting at 3. How old were you when you first started playing tournaments?
I remember I was 12 years old. I started traveling a lot and started practicing full time. Yeah, so that before I was playing some tournaments, of course, in the Netherlands. But when I was going to other countries, that was when I was 12 years old. And that's how it started. You travel more, you try to get some points. I started like far away in Bangladesh, for example. And then it was a little easier in that time to take points there and win points. And then, yeah, I got to enter in the European tournaments. And then you are on the list, and then you keep playing, and then you play the Grand Slams juniors, and yeah.
And it goes from there. Yeah. That's how a junior career starts, and that's how Demi Schuurs gets to number 7. So I would love to know, Demi, what was little Demi Schuurs like as a kid?
Actually, the same as I'm now. I was wearing boys' clothes. I had short hair. I was playing soccer, tennis, doing a lot of things with friends on the street. I was not someone who was sitting still.
It's a sporting family, right? Just something you were very active the whole, you know, your whole generation. I love that. I really, really love that. You haven't changed much. That's good, though.
Yeah, I'm still the same, yeah.
You were raised in a very athletic family, and I'm guessing very competitive household, too. I'm sure that had a big influence on you growing up. So I'd love to explore and talk about our second topic today, and that is your very interesting family dynamic. Demi, it seems from social media that you're very close to your family. You mentioned having a brother and sister as well. I love seeing that. I'm sure that's a very important support system for you when you go back home. Your father, as you mentioned, played handball. Your brother, Per, is a professional footballer. I mean, he's a big deal overseas. I mean, that's really awesome. Can you talk about your family dynamic for a moment?
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's so interesting.
Yeah. As you just said, we are a close family. In the moments when I was still living at home with them, I was traveling a lot, so I didn't see them that much as they saw each other. But yeah, we're very close. So my sister, her name is Flo. She is 3 years younger than me. And my brother, Per, he is 6 years younger than me. Yeah, my sister, she's playing handball, but just for fun with friends.
Well, she kind of has to. I mean, if both of her brothers and sisters are professional, I mean, she has to, you know, she has to at least try, right?
She did try, and she had maybe the potential to be better, but she was like, I think it's too tough for me. She didn't want to practice every day, and you have to be very strict for yourself. So she chose to play with friends, some handball, and she is a childcare. So she's, yeah, with a lot of childs at home.
Awesome. A good balance to the family.
Yes. Yes.
When you say strict, I know obviously there's so much focus and dedication to become a professional athlete. With your father having the background that he did, were your parents more laid back type parents, or were they very involved in both you and your brother's careers early on?
My mom, she's very relaxed, and she just wants us to do our things. She was always the one who was managing the whole family with, yeah, let's say food, laundry, driving around.
She's the boss.
She's the boss, of course. Yeah. Yeah. So she played like every sport for a few weeks, and that's it. And my dad, he was involved, and he still is involved in a healthy way. So he's not like talking about tennis. No, he's just giving his experience by the mental part. He was very strong mentally. He was a hard worker, and he has a lot of experience, of course. So he's trying to help us on that part, but not on the part with, I mean, he's not talking about tennis or soccer because he's a handball player, not a tennis player. So I think it's an advantage, of course, that we have someone in the family that experienced all of it already. I'm happy that they got involved in a healthy way, because I also hear different stories, of course, from parents. So I think we are very lucky. Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like your father knows his boundaries. He can help develop you when it comes to the things that he knows, but you know, he gives you your space. I think that's so healthy. I love hearing that. So now I have to ask, because I'm sure it's come up in the Schuurs family all the time. So what's the tougher sport to play? Is it handball? Is it football? Is it tennis? So what's the consensus?
Ooh, that's tough. That's tough. Yeah. The moment that I was still living at home, we were always laughing, because when I'm going to a tournament, I have like 3 full backs. Or when I go to practice, I have 2 backs with me. And my brother, he was just going with underwear. And he was like, oh my gosh. So you have to take 2 big backs, and I just go with my underwear, and they do everything for me. So
I think his Instagram followers just went up by you saying that, by the way, just FYI. I don't know if that's
Yeah, so that was funny. But I think overall we respect each other, and I think body wise handball is very tough. It's unbelievable sometimes how strong they are and what they do. And of course soccer, it is different. Sometimes it's not easy if you're not playing, because you try to be in a team every match, and you have a lot of good players around yourself. For tennis, I think if I can compare it, of course, with soccer, with my brother, he's always like, wow, you travel again and again and again. He said, okay, that's very difficult. I think for him, at least he's still at home while he can do his job.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big difference too. Yeah.
Huge difference. Well, when you grew up in a very athletic household, and it was no surprise, the influence that would help you become one of the best junior players in the world. So topic three is your years on the ITF junior tour. Demi, you were, as I mentioned, a great singles player in your junior days, but your record on the doubles court was absolutely insane. It was truly amazing. Who really helped mold and shape your game growing up? You mentioned your father was more on the mental side. Who do you attribute your early game development to?
Yeah, I think, of course, 8 years old is a young age. But when I was practicing in Belgium, that's where I start working on my game. I start traveling. And I think that's where everything started in a more professional way. And I think that's where you're going to, you start making steps and you improve. Yeah, my coach has always told me when I was younger that they had a feeling and a confidence that I had a potential to be top 15 in the world. And I was like, wow, that's a dream. You know, if I can make that happen, I'm happy.
Was your singles game as a junior, were you a serve and volley, or did you always incorporate that style into even your junior tennis as well?
No, I was struggling with my single game. I'm not, because I'm not the most powerful player. I'm someone who's playing with more feel, and the court is bigger. You have to run a lot. Then when you go to the net, of course, there's a lot of space. So that was not easy. So I was struggling with my singles game, and I was trying a lot. And I think I'm maybe fitter now than I was a few years ago. So I'm curious if I start playing singles now. I think it's difficult, but overall, I think body-wise, I feel better. I was playing a different game. Like I was trying to see what the opponent was doing. Sometimes I was defending too much. When I was very, very little, I was just playing the ball up in the air and run to the net. From a young age, it was in my mind and in my body to just go to the net as soon as I could.
Go to the net.
But yeah, singles was tough for me. And juniors already, the difference was big. Yeah.
That makes so much sense. I'm learning so much today. In 2010, you'd win the prestigious Eddie Hearn doubles event in Bradenton, Florida. It's a huge event. But the very next year, in 2011, you'd make the final of all four junior Grand Slams, winning both the 2011 Australian Open and US Open junior titles. You must have been the talk of the club. I mean, that's huge, especially for anybody to win two junior Grand Slams. That's absolutely amazing. With all your success in doubles, at what point did you tell yourself, okay, I have to try and be a pro at this point? Obviously, we know it was a dream of yours to play professional tennis, but does that give you those two titles? Does that give you the confidence to say, okay, I can really do this?
Yeah, the end of the junior period, I felt already that the difference between singles and doubles for me was big. Not only the level, but also the ranking. Of course, you see that at one point, it's difficult to combine the tournaments when you're not no junior anymore. So what happened is I played the juniors. It was in my mind and I realized it, but I was trying to play singles as well. And then in 2015, I made a decision to, yeah, let's see if I just focus on doubles now 3 months in practice and tournaments. And then the second tournament, I played with Isaline Bonaventure and we won the WTA.
And you won.
Yeah. So then the difference was even bigger because my ranking was going up. And then I realized, yeah, this is it. You know, this is what I want. This is what I like.
And here we are. Yeah. No, I can't. I want to talk about it for sure. I mean, I do have a question. I mean, obviously talking about your junior career, that transition from juniors to pro, the game style that you had, like you said, it wasn't a conventional, typical singles game style that most players have in the juniors. Did you have doubters? Did you have haters that said, Demi, I don't know. I don't think you can do this. I mean, you're much more suited to doubles than singles. I mean, did you ever have that kind of influence? Because I'd love for you to say now, you know, screw you, because look at me now, you know?
No, I had actually a lot of people that didn't believe that it was possible. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm like, yes, this is where I am now. So
yes, exactly. Yes, I hope you're listening out there.
Yeah. So well, yeah, that happened, of course. And even to maybe to other doubles partners in the beginning, for me, it was not easy to find partners because yeah, my game style, if you watch now, it's better. But when I was in the beginning of the pro circuit, I think the people that were watching me, they were like, you know, if I'm playing with her, she's not playing strong from the baseline. Mm-hmm. They will attack me at the net. So yeah, yeah, I'm like a sitting duck. Over the years, then a good player started to play with me because, for example, Ashley Boddy, I'm a good friend of her. And then we stopped playing. And then other players are like, okay, if she's going to play with Demi, so maybe then I can play with Demi too.
Oh, we have to talk about your doubles partners. They're iconic. We're going to get into that in a second. I love it. Let's go on to topic four, Demi, because I think this is a great segue because we're talking about doubles today. Not only did you make it, but you proved that you could be one of the best doubles players in the entire world. So I'd love to know your opinion on this, actually. What's your opinion on the term doubles specialist? Is that a negative term to you? Or do you think that's the best way to describe what you do for a living?
Oh, no, I think I'm, if someone calls me a double specialist, I will be happy. Yeah, I think that's what I am. I'm not a single player. I'm just playing doubles. I'm just focusing on doubles and trying to be a specialist in doubles. So I think if someone calls me a specialist, I'm proud and happy. Yeah.
I've been lucky and extremely fortunate enough to have had numerous conversations about doubles with some of the greatest doubles players of all time on this show, like Lindsay Davenport and Renee Stubbs and Pam Shriver, Barbara Streetsova, and also someone I know that has been trying very hard to garner the game of doubles more attention, someone you play doubles with, actually, Gabby Dabrowski. We had a great chat, so please check out her episode. It was really fantastic. But she spoke about the things the WTA can and should be doing to help promote doubles. Demi, as someone that makes their living playing doubles, what improvements do you think can be made to the sport to make it more desirable for fans and for TV?
I think overall doubles is already very interesting. If you see how it goes, how the game is, I think sometimes in doubles is more fun and more action than in singles, and especially with the net game. So I believe that it's not the game, it's more like the doubles. We don't get the promotion that we deserve. I think that's something that needs to be different. And then, of course, if it's more on TV, people start talking about it and they want to see it. And I think that's something that, yeah, it's like a circle. Yeah,
exactly. It's funny because everyone listening out there, they love doubles. I mean, everyone plays doubles. It's just such a more social part of tennis, right? It's so fun. Hopefully the ATP and WTA can figure out a much better way to market their players better. I mean, I think that's really the solution here. Is there anything that you'd change about the current setup of doubles on tour? Are you a fan of the 10-point tiebreak? Are there any little improvements that can be made?
If I'm winning them, I'm a fan of them.
Okay, no, yes, but that's fair.
I think I understand what they want to do with it because, of course, a lot of single players are playing doubles too. But I think also it's a disadvantage for the better doubles teams because if you just play 10 points, of course, the chance is bigger that a less good team wins the tiebreaker instead of a third set. I think you increase the chance that the best team wins the third set. So I think that's sure. I always like the juice points because I'm someone that likes to take a risk and just go for those points. But I think it's nice to bring the level closer to each other. But for the better teams, I think it's a disadvantage.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Well, it makes sense. I mean, little by little, I think doubles is getting much more attention, but singles is still the superstar for now. So we'll cross our fingers and see where doubles hits us in 2022. We're on to topic five. We've spoken about your initial success on the doubles court, but once upon a time, Demi Schuurs played singles as well. And topic five is our first Demi quiz question today. Mm-hmm. And it's about your early years on tour and your first ITF singles title. So here's your question, Demi. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. you're like, I don't know if I'm going to get this right.
No, I don't think so, but let's go.
Demi, you won your first ITF title at an event in Egypt back in 2014. You'd win the tournament without even dropping a set. And your toughest match would come in the second round against this player that was the very first player from Liechtenstein to ever qualify for a Grand Slam in singles at the 2018 US Open. I'm going to test how deep your WTA knowledge runs, Demi. Do you remember the name of that player you beat in that second round match?
Von Dijkman?
Yeah, there we go. I love her name. I just think it's a cool. I mean, doesn't it sound like she's like a murder mystery character in a 1920s like horror movie or something? I love it. It's Katinka von Dijkman. It's a cool name. So you beat Emily Webley Smith in that final. Do you remember that tournament at all in Egypt?
Yeah, I remember the court where we played the final. I don't remember the match against von Dijkman, but I remember the match against Emily. Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, with all the success you've had in doubles, that must have felt so good to raise a singles trophy.
It is.
That was in February of 2014. And less than a year, you mentioned it a little bit earlier about your WTA titles that you'd win very quickly. You'd win that first title in Poland and you'd play the entire 2014 season in singles. But again, by 2015, you'd almost exclusively started playing doubles. You started talking a little bit about it. Can you take us through that decision to play doubles exclusively? Obviously, you're doing much better at doubles at this point. Is the mentality, I can make a much better living just focusing on what I'm good at?
Yeah, I think overall you invest a lot of money and time and energy to, of course, make money and try to live your life with tennis.
Yeah.
And then at that point, I felt like maybe it's time to change something. I realized already for a few years that the difference is big between singles and doubles for me. And then, yeah, I was talking, of course, with my coaches, with my family, and just give it a try. And then, of course, the second tournament we played was a Katowice, and we won. So then, of course, you get at one moment, you get some more money than you used to get before. So that's what you want. And then you improve your ranking and you get closer to your dream ranking and you make steps and you improve and you improve and you're just getting better and you play bigger tournaments and that gives you motivation and that's what you want. I was so, and I'm still so happy that I made a decision. Of course, it was not easy because you also invest in playing singles. And that's something that you, I don't want to say throw away, but you stop playing singles. So yeah, I'm happy now that I made the decision, but I feel I'm maybe lucky because I was playing, I'm practicing, traveling with a lot of other girls and they had to make the decision that they had to start working or study. And for me, the doubles was my choice. And for example, Elisa Mertens was also a player I was practicing with and she's the only one who made it like in singles and doubles. So I feel more like I'm lucky that I could make the decision to keep playing and go for doubles instead of the other way.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's a decision that will lead to many Grand Slams one day. And I think it was a great decision. So topic six takes a look at your early doubles success on tour. In 2015, as we just heard, you'd started focusing on doubles. And starting in April of 2015, you'd win your first two WTA titles, the first in Katowice, Poland, and then later that summer in Bucharest, Romania. Demi, did those titles give you reassurance that you'd made the right decision? I guess that's a stupid question, right? Because you're winning titles. So you're saying, yeah, I should be doing this. I should have focused on doubles, right?
Yeah, of course. It helps a lot if you're winning titles. Yeah.
Do you remember that first tournament, that final match point, winning your first title? That must have been such a cool moment. Do you remember how you celebrated?
Yeah, I just remember that it was with Isaline Bonaventure and she's still a friend of mine. So you don't forget it. And I also remember that at that point, you don't believe it because my dad was with me and I was very, very proud calling my mom after the match. I couldn't believe it because when you play ITF and you just start or you just made a decision to play doubles only, winning a title, WTA title is so far away. And then it just happens like very fast, actually.
And that's what happened because here we are today. You've been on tour for a few years now. I'm sure that winner's paycheck in Poland and in Bucharest was a big deal around that time too, because, you know, you're going from ITF money now winning tournaments. There's so much talk about compensation for doubles and how hard it is to make a viable living. And even outside the top 200 in singles. I mean, we've been talking about this topic for, it seems like, years now. What was your early experience like on tour? Did you have that same experience as others with trying to make a living early in your career?
Yes, of course. I'm lucky and happy that my parents would help me a lot in the beginning. Otherwise, it was impossible. I was also lucky. I had some sponsors that helped me. So that was nice because otherwise it was impossible to make it like I'm living now.
Yeah. Well, it was a good investment. So
yes, it was a good investment. Yeah, it's not easy. And I agree with the part that still at this level, I think the difference between first round doubles in a slam or first round singles in a slam, it's big. I'm very happy with the money that we can earn. I think if you just see people that are working at home, I think for them, it's a lot of money. So I'm not complaining about it, but if you see the difference, I think it's big. And same for players out of the top 200. Yeah, it's not easy. And sometimes that I think those players are the players that need the money to invest and play the higher tournaments and improve in the ranking.
For sure. These players are your friends. You travel with them, so you hear it all the time. You know, it's a big deal for a lot of those players to travel around the world. Well, thankfully, your results kept getting better and the paycheck certainly got bigger. So that was great. And by 2017, you had found a steady doubles partner in former WTA doubles number one, Elise Mertens. So topic 7 covers Demi's doubles partners. Demi, what do you look for in a doubles partner?
First of all, the most important thing is that I can be myself. I'm someone I believe in. If I can be myself, I can get the maximum out of it. Then I can be the best person on court and I can show the best tennis because I feel good. If you talk about tennis quality, I think I'm playing good with someone who's good from the baseline, has a good serve, and just play with a lot of pressure because I like to be at the net. So usually they don't want to go a line at me. If someone is playing with a lot of pressure from the baseline and I'm at the net, it's not easy for players, for opponents, I think.
Yeah, intimidating is what you call it. You've had so much success even with current partner Nicole Melichar Martinez. How did you both come together and decide to play?
So last year I played with Peschke and the year before with Annalena Groenewoud. Yeah. And we all had the same coach. That's the husband of Peschke. That's how we came together because Nicole was already practicing with him as well. And we were both looking and then we decided to play together. So that's how it started. Yeah.
Very lucky. There we go. You've had so much success with great partners like Elise. And you mentioned Ash Barty, Annalena Groenewoud, now Nicole. But if you could play doubles with any retired player, who would you say would have been someone you wished you could have played with?
Oh, that's a tough question. I think it would be nice just to play with maybe Navratilova or maybe Serena Williams, just because I like their name and what they achieved. I think that's unbelievable. Yeah. I respect them very much. But if you just talk about at this moment and playing wise, I was lucky with a lot of players. I think what you just mentioned with Annalena, I had a great result. She's a great person. With Elise, she's now number one in the world, but she's an unbelievable player and she's a good friend of mine. And I always call her happy hero Ash. I mean, she always makes me happy. She's an unbelievable person. I feel so good with her on court as well.
I mean, isn't Ash Barty such a great number one though? What a great face of the WTA. I mean, to have somebody like Ash at the top of the sport it's a different era, right? Her game style, her personality. I'm a huge Ash Barty fan. Yeah.
Yeah. She's the best. I like her very much. And the moments that we had, because we came together just because of an incident, I had no one and she decided, okay, let's sign in and we will see. And then we won Montreal and then, okay, let's do it again. And we won Rome. So we played like two tournaments, two big ones, and we won both. So, I mean, that's something you get a lot of confidence and you just see that there's a good match.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. How lucky, right? That's a great moment. Yeah. Big question here, because this is important. If we played mixed together, what kind of doubles partner would I get in you, Demi? Are you the partner that's going to boss me around on court? Tell me where to move. Are we gossiping on court? Are you calming me down or am I calming you down? What's our aesthetic? What kind of partner are you?
Oh, I'm very calm. So, I'm very calm. I will not be angry or mad. I will just be chill. And, you can tell me what you want to do. If you want to hear my opinion, I will tell you, but otherwise I'm just quiet and try to enjoy the game together. And that's it.
Just do your job. Do your job, right? That's what you're here to do. Well, topic 8, it's a fan question and it's our first one for today. And it comes all the way from Athens, Greece. A fan of yours, Angelica Diakos, writes, "Hello, Demi. First, you are such an important ambassador for the LGBTQ community, but I have a question about your doubles partners. You've had success for the past 4 seasons with 4 different partners. How do successful doubles partnerships typically decide when it's time to move on to other partners?
Yeah, that's a good question. I can also tell you that Nicole and me, we will not continue next year. Yeah, so it's again searching for a new partner. So that's where I'm right now.
So this will be your finale in Guadalajara. This is it. Oh, yes. Who knows what happens in the future? But tell me, that's kind of nervous and exciting. Did you know also at the end of the other seasons that it would be the last one as well?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Yeah, that's different every year. I think overall what I just said, like, what is important for me is that I can be myself. So I'm just looking around and try to find someone where I can be myself, where I have a good connection. And of course, in your mind and also with your coaches, you're going to see, okay, what is important for me? Which game style? Which person? And yeah, then you just have to give it a try. And of course, you have to hope that the other person want to play with you as well. So it's a lot of things, but I was struggling in the beginning because with my game style, they were not very confident. And yeah, right now I'm happy that that's different. But yeah, most of the times you just talk with your team and then you get in touch with a person that you want to play with.
Well, now I think we have a much better profile of you. I think everyone listening out there, I hope you flood Demi's DMs and you let her know who you think she should be playing with next season. I think this will be really good. You have a whole new big team now. So everyone will give their own opinions about who they want you to play with. This is going to be fun. So we'll see how that goes. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Well, we're moving on to topic 9, and it's about your stellar 2018 season. When we're talking about new partners, this is the part of the resume that is just outstanding. It's such a great highlight. And that's how we got to number 7 in the world. And it's also our second Demi quiz question today. So you're 1-0 today. Let's see if we can get number 2. Here we go. Hey, fantastic fans. I hope you're enjoying this week's episode. My guess is that you're probably browsing goldenageoftennis.com right now. Okay, I know it's a bit early. Hear me out. I know, but the holidays, whether we like it or not, are right around the corner. So why not get the tennis player in your life something that will be their new favorite thing to wear on and off court? Only on goldenageoftennis.com will you find a vault of amazing relaunched retro tennis gear, like the classic Bjorn Borg vintage Fila polo with matching headband. Or if you're like me, you're definitely going to buy the coolest black and white LS vintage track jacket and shorts that Guillermo Vilas and Boris Becker used to wear. Visit goldenageoftennis.com today for 10% off with the code FANTASTIC at checkout. And you can start dressing like your tennis idols. Speaking of fantastic tennis idols, let's get back to our show. On October 22nd, 2018, Demi, you reached a career high of number 7 in the world. It was also the same day as the WTA welcomed 2 new co-number ones as the 40th and 41st players to become WTA world number 1. Which 2 players became number 1 on the same day you reached number 7 in the world?
Oh, that's a good question.
Good question. They're still around today.
Yeah, I'm thinking, was it Krejcikova, Siniaková?
Yes, yes, you got it. Look, this is too easy for you today.
I was thinking about single players, two different like men's and women's, but yeah, the women's doubles.
Well done. They're still number 1 today. They're still amazing. They're still playing fantastic. So is there a team out there that maybe you consider, or at least now, maybe, you know, knowing that we're not moving forward with Nicole, but so maybe we can talk about it a little more freely now, but was there a team that you felt like when you played was a very difficult team for you and Nicole to play, or maybe one particular player, a game style that didn't match up very well with you guys?
No, I think not really. I think the level at this point is so close to each other. The whole top 20 can win against each other. And of course you have some really good teams like Krejcikova, Siniaková. They win a lot. The Japanese girls, they played very well this year. They won a lot, but also Mertens Elisa and Sue, they're unbelievable. They won a slam, they won Indian Wells now. So I feel like it's more the moment. But when Nicole and me, we're playing well, we can also beat everyone. So I think the level is very close to each other. Yeah.
Debbie, I want to touch on your 2018 season because it was really extraordinary. You'd make 9 WTA finals, winning 7 titles, including 3 Premier 5 titles at the Italian Open, the Canadian Open, and Wuhan. What was it about 2018 that really started to click for you? Obviously, maybe that confidence with playing with Ash too, winning those two big titles. But what was it about you personally that you feel like, you know what, I'm here, I can be one of the best doubles players in the world?
Actually, at that point, I had no idea how it started, because I was still doing the same things. The only thing is, it was going my way. So winning so much tournaments in 1 year with different partners. Of course, when you win a big one, you realize you're one of the best, because otherwise it's not possible. But then you get a lot of confidence and you keep going, and then you win another one and you get a lot of confidence. And especially because you play with different partners, you realize also it's a little bit, because it's I was there on court. That gives you a lot of confidence. And that's how I think I became stronger, especially mentally. I was someone I was doubting a lot, and that was fun. I was playing with Ashley, I remember, in Montreal. And at one point I was serving and I was very nervous. And she told me, "Come on, pussy, who's the best player on court here?" And she was like, "You know, it's you." I said, "No, Ash, you're number 15 in the world. I'm a little bit lower, like 16 or 17. And she didn't know her own ranking. I was like, so that was funny. But she was like, "Come on, get a little bit more confident." And I think she helped me, because she's one of the best. I mean, she's number one in the world in singles. And she was the one who told me that I'm a good player and I can be so good on court. So of course you get confidence. And especially if you win those big events. Yeah.
Oh, Ash. Come on, Ash. Motivating the world. I want to take her class. And here we go. I need my confidence class with Ash Barty. All right. Well, we're on to topic 10 now. And Demi, when fans found out that you were coming on the show today, they sent me so many amazing questions about this topic. This first question comes from Kyle Kent in Arlington, Virginia, USA. And she writes, "I've just recently come out to my family, and tennis is what has always bonded us. I read your interview last year with the WTA, where you spoke freely about your experience coming out, and it made me feel like the world was moving in the right direction. What was your experience after you came out in that interview?"
Oh, I was actually surprised, because I was giving this interview and at that moment I could talk open about it already before. So I was giving the interview like I'm just talking now. And then the WTA, they posted on social media and just on internet. And then I got a lot of positive messages. I was like, wow, what did I do? So I was very, very happy afterwards. I was like, okay, it's good that people are, maybe I can help people to come out, or they just find some little bit more motivation, or just some, they feel safe, or you don't know how people will react on it. But I felt like, very good, because I didn't realize it was a big impact on a lot of people.
Huge. No, she's referring to an article written by David Kane that the WTA posted last year during Pride. I read that interview as well, and it was so honest, and honestly, there was one part in particular that really struck me. And it was how, when you first started playing pro tennis, you were nervous that when people saw you in men's clothes, that they may judge you. And honestly, your experience was nothing but positive. And I found that to be so encouraging. And I loved reading that. Another fan of yours, André van Prusdijk in Oosterhout, Netherlands, asked, "Demi, with your family connection being so deep in the sporting world, do you feel the media or tennis fans in the Netherlands have treated you any different after coming out?"
No, I think they respect me. I think, of course, what we said already today is doubles is there is not that much attention as singles. So if I would be a singles player with those results, trophies, I think I would be very, very famous, and it would be maybe different. But now with doubles, I'm in the part where I grew up. Of course, they know me. But overall, in the Netherlands, they didn't treat me different. No, not at all. I think they just respect me.
And I love your style. It's so distinct. I mean, it is just very classic Demi and never change. It's so cool. I absolutely love it. For sure, there's still a long way to go, though, Demi. And I think especially in the men's tour, really. But people like you are role models, and especially to a younger generation. And it makes a big difference when players are comfortable talking. So thanks for sharing. Mm-hmm. That was really cool to read. Moving on to topic 11, and I've just entitled it More Success, because in 2019 and 2020, you'd continue to have some great years on tour. In 2019, you'd make 5 more premier finals with Annalena Groenefeld. And in 2020, you'd win 2 titles and managed through a very crazy COVID season, with your big highlight being the win in the bubble in Cincinnati with former number one Kvetepeshki, who at 46, by the way, just won Chicago with the amazing Andrei Petkovic, who I absolutely love. I love that she keeps playing. I love it. Are you going to keep playing until you're 46?
No. I can tell you, I love the game. I have the passion to play, but I'm a family person. So at one point, I just want to be with my family and just enjoy another life. Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe she said the same thing when she was 28 too. You never know. You never know. All right. Well, we're moving on to topic 12. And I just asked Demi a really stupid question. So I'm going to ask her five more stupid questions. Let's play five stupid questions with Demi Schurz. This is very simple. It's literally five get to know you questions that require little to no brain power. So we'll go pretty quick. All right. Number one, now that we're okay with saying double specialist, I wonder what else besides tennis would you say you were a specialist in? Are you a good cook?
No.
Do you sing opera that I don't know about? Is there something? I don't know.
I'm good in, I don't know in English, but with a tennis ball playing soccer.
Oh, you can bounce it?
Yeah, like with my feet, of course. Like 100 times.
That's a talent.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay, number two, you get one loss from your career to turn into a win instead. Which do you pick? It can't be your 2021 Grand Slam semifinal runs, though.
That's the one that I wanted to choose.
I know. That's an easy one.
I also think it was the mixed doubles now this year. The quarters, we were very close. And I think if we could have win, maybe there was more possible.
I think so too. That was a great match. That was a good. All right. Number three, name a current TV show that you love watching.
Oh, I'm not watching that much TV, actually. No,
same. But what? If you're going to watch something, is it the news? Is it a documentary? What
no, piece sports, your interest? Soccer.
Soccer. This yeah, night. You got to watch your brother.
Champions League. Dortmund.
Is that your team?
Ajax is the brother, is what one brother is playing for.
Okay.
All right. Tonight, Champions League. So, yeah.
I know nothing about, actually, I know everything about Champions League soccer now because I watched Ted Lasso. So I'm an expert. I know exactly what you're talking about. Just FYI. All right. Number four, name your favorite non-Grand Slam tournament.
I love Indian Wells.
I mean, was that not just the coolest place, right? The venue is so great.
Oh, it's
just
unbelievable. It's
the so weather.
They call it a paradise, but it is a paradise.
Did you have fun? Yeah, it was a nice little break.
Yeah.
All right, last question. I try to stay away from the drama on the show, but you're so nice. So I have to ask, what was the time on court during your career where you got the absolute maddest and just lost your shit on court? Was there ever a time? Think about it. Yeah. Who was it? Who was mean to you, Demi?
No, it was an umpire that made like a big mistake. I was playing in France qualifying singles.
Singles? Oh, we're going back. Okay.
Yeah, singles. Yeah, it was like a long time ago. And I was playing against a French girl and she missed a ball like this out. And I was, sure that I won the match. And the umpire said, no, it was in. And I lost the set and I was getting crazy. Yeah, I still remember that. Man.
If only we had YouTube back then at that ITF tournament, that would have been amazing to have that. But yeah, no. All right. I'm just picturing it now. All right. Well done. Five stupid questions, all done. Really good answers to five stupid questions. All right, topic 13. We're talking about the experience you had at the Tokyo Olympics playing for Team Netherlands and also playing the last match with your friend Kiki Bertens in her career. I know this wasn't exactly a typical Olympic Games and the results weren't exactly what you had hoped for, but did Tokyo live up to the hype for you?
Yes and no. First of all, it was amazing, and I'm proud that I could be the one where Kiki finished her last match, and I was staying next to her, so that was like very nice. But if we just talk about the Olympics, we had an unbelievable first win.
I mean, Team France. I mean, we're talking Mladenovic Garcia, who, you know, Grand Slam champion, so amazing.
Yes, so that win was unbelievable. And then we were in a hotel at 1 or 2 in the night. We went to sleep. In the morning, we got a message that our friend and our teammate, Royer, he's playing doubles, got COVID.
Yeah.
So then everything changed in our team. Everything changed. So we had to leave. So we played the doubles. We couldn't do warm up. We couldn't change. We had to change in the toilet because we couldn't enter the locker room. We couldn't go into the restaurant. Everything changed. We couldn't go to the village. For us, Olympic was over at that point.
Was there a quarantine hotel that they moved you to?
No, only he had to go there.
Had to.
Yeah, but we had to leave because I couldn't play mixed his partner was out of doubles and afraid to get it as well. So yeah, we all left.
Ah, that's devastating, right? I mean, COVID has affected so many people this year, and little things like that just, you know, make it such a big deal. This is a dream of a lifetime to play in the Olympics. And yeah, yeah. How disappointing. You're going to get another shot. So
let's hope for that. Yeah.
You lost 10-7 in the third to the Russian team as well. So I know that must have been very hard, especially being Kiki's last match. What did Kiki Bertens mean to Dutch tennis?
Well, she means a lot. I mean, she's, I think, one of the greatest players that Netherlands ever had. And she's a great person as well. Yeah, she had a tough period now because it was not easy for her to make the decision to stop playing tennis or not. And there was, of course, a lot of pressure from media when she was doing well. And she was number four in the world. And I think if you just know Kiki, and yeah, it's unbelievable what she achieved. And also, if you see where she's coming from as a junior, nobody was thinking about Kiki making this possible. I think it's very nice that she could do it. And also, yeah, the tournaments that she won, like Madrid and playing semis in French. I mean, that's unbelievable.
She was so great on clay. Oh, so great.
Yeah. Sometimes I was just getting frustrated myself because, you know, the media or people, they were just, yeah, talking negative or just, yeah, bad about how she was playing. And I'm like, please, she's number four in the world. She's the greatest we ever had. Yeah, it's a good person. You just be proud that she achieved those results. And yeah, I was sometimes getting frustrated, but in the Netherlands, she's one of the greatest we ever had.
We live in a generation now of Clijsters and Davenport and so many great players that have tried comebacks. So maybe, who knows, maybe give her some time. We could see another, you know, Patty Schnieder type comeback, you know, I don't know. We'll see.
I don't think so. I don't think so, but I hope she's coming back.
Okay.
Otherwise I will take her one tournament with me to travel.
Exactly. Maybe we do a redo at the next Olympics. Yeah. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah,
you need a good doubles partner. We gotta get one for you. Well, we're talking about playing for Team Netherlands, and I have to mention Billie Jean King Cup. And this also is going to be your very last Demi quiz question today, but I'm going to make this one very easy for you. So here we go. Demi, back in 2018, during your World Group quarterfinal match against the United States, you, alongside partner Leslie Patinama Kirkhove?
Kirkhove, yeah.
Kirkhove. You both defeated the legendary team of Venus and Serena Williams in straight sets in an amazing match. So your question today is just true or false. Demi Schurz, true or false? The last time Venus and Serena lost a Fed Cup doubles match was way back in 2003 during a first round tie against Team Czech Republic. Is that true or false?
They lost against us.
They did. I know. So is that true or false?
It's false.
It's false. Because you're the only team, by the way, that's ever beaten Venus and Serena in Fed Cup.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. You need that on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Sometimes I get the question, what is the most beautiful win you ever had of one of the nicest? And most of the times I say this match, because it's a bit strange because we lost already the tie.
Yeah.
But for me as a person, against two legends to win this match.
Legends. I mean, I'm sure. And I've said this many times on the show. So I think when you're traveling and you have your tennis bag and people are like, oh, you're a tennis player. Have you ever played Serena? I'm sure you get that all the time, right? And you're like, yeah, I have played her. Yeah, I have. Yeah, I beat her. Have you played her in regular match or no? That was it.
No, never.
So you're undefeated against Serena Williams.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, come on, Demi.
Let's go.
All right. Topic 14 today. I want to talk about your 2021 season. It was a season full of highlights again. You made five big finals, winning three titles this past year in Strasbourg, Doha, and Charleston. You made your Grand Slam semifinal debut in Australia. We'll call it the Demi Semi, right? That wasn't funny. You laughed a little bit.
Yeah.
But then you made the French Open semifinals and mixed for another Demi Semi. I mean, that was pretty great. Then you even played singles at the Canadian Open this year. You played singles again. And by the way, you played Martin Kova, and I saw her at the Player Bar in Chicago at the Host Hotel. And I have no idea. I've never talked to her, but she seemed so cool. She was wearing like this big leather studded jacket, and she had this like very severe eyeliner, and she had that sleeve tattoo. Like, she seems like the coolest person, by the way. I'm going to watch her next year. I like the vibe.
Yeah.
Were you happy with your season, Demi?
Yeah, I think I'm just talking about doubles now. The singles was nice and was fun, but yeah, it's different. I'm very happy how we performed till Wimbledon. And then afterwards, we were struggling a little bit with the results. I think I had an off day in Wimbledon. That was actually very sad because we were playing good. We played finals in Berlin, finals in Eastbourne. We were ready to play good on grass in Wimbledon. But beginning of the year, I think that was very good. Yeah, the semis, winning Doha, Charleston, yeah, we had some good results, yeah.
Can you take me through mentality-wise, when you have a team that's playing very well in your career, like how you and Nicole were playing at the beginning of the year, when the results aren't there, do you have a meeting to say, hey, what's going on? Why aren't we playing as well, or why aren't the results there? Is that something that doubles partners typically do?
Yeah, you communicate a lot. I think that's one of the most important things, communication as a team. And of course, we talk, and it's important that you can tell your partner, your coach, how you feel. What do you feel? What do you think we need to change? So you have a lot of meetings and, mm-hmm. and talks, yeah.
Well, we're wrapping up today with the amazing Demi Schuurs. I've had so much fun talking to you today, yeah. Demi. As we put an end to the 2021 season and we look forward to next year, what would you say is your number one goal for the 2022 season?
So my goal, I don't want to say it's 2022, but my goal is, of course, to win a slam and to be number one in the world at one moment. So I don't want to say it's next year. I just try to get there at one point, but that's the goal, that the two goals that I still want to achieve, yeah.
Well, again, you didn't know in 2018 that you were going to win 7 huge titles either, right? It just kind of happened. So
no, that's true. Yeah.
My last question for you, Demi, I always like to keep it positive. Looking back on all we've talked about, what would you say was the proudest moment you've had in your career so far?
I think maybe it's nice if I just relate it to the show what we're doing now. I think overall it's that I'm at this point of my career and I didn't change. So I'm still myself. I'm still the same person. I did a lot of things by myself because some people, they didn't believe or confidence in me. So I think that's the most important thing and something where I'm proud of, that I'm just myself and I just keep working and trying to get the maximum out of it. And yeah, that's how I live. And that's my mentality. Yeah.
And also, she'll be messaging Serena Williams for a full-time doubles partner next season as well, right? That'll be another proud moment when you win all 4 Grand Slams with Serena next year, right?
I will sign for that.
Or maybe Ash. I'd like to see, you know, Barty Schuurs again. We'll see. Well, I can't tell you how grateful I am that you got to hang out with us today. I want to thank my guest, Demi Schuurs. Demi, I feel like I've known you forever now. We're friends. I love it.
That's yeah, we fun. Just know each other for a few weeks now.
Our guest can be found on Instagram at Demi Schuurs. That's 2 U's. And make Demi Schuurs, you follow her quest for WTA championship glory in Guadalajara. I wish you a ton of tequila shots in Mexico afterwards. I hope you and Nicole go out on a high.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope you have a very relaxing offseason at home. While you're on Instagram, shoot me a DM at John Garica. Let me know who you're a big fan of. And also don't forget to follow us at Fantastic Tennis Pod or on Twitter at FanTennisPod. And if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, we'd love an amazing review. It's always so helpful. My name is John Garica, and thank you for listening. This has been Fantastic.